Hey, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Steve. What a joy it is to be here. I've enjoyed my weekend. I met Cody last night, and he said, I hope you're encouraged by your time here, as we're encouraged by opening the Word, and it's been a wonderful weekend. I've been encouraged. I've been blessed. My family's enjoyed. We had a glow party last night for the kids. I don't know if you were in there last night, but the kids had a glow party going on. We had a wonderful meal last night. I really want to thank the missions committee, the worship team, the missionaries. Let's thank the missions committee for putting this on this weekend. As we've been saying, this is our missions weekend, our missions conference. I'm honored to be part of it. My missions story is not the same as everyone else. I've not moved overseas, but as you may hear as I speak and as I talk, you've got a pastor from Oklahoma and a pastor from Alabama, so you may be acclimated, but I've come from a faraway land called Louisiana. So if you hear my voice and think it sounds funny, I'm actually smarter than I sound. I like to lead with that. But I moved from Louisiana and from Arkansas, where we were doing ministry with our family, about 2 years ago. And we did something very, I won't say unwise, but we moved in December from the South to New Hampshire. And when we got here, there was snow on the ground. And as we continued to do ministry, the snow kept coming. And there were several days where I didn't think I could get into my car, but I did, and we shoveled, and we had a fun time. But we love being here in New England. We've seen God at work in New England. One of the great parts of my job and my role is I get to travel like this and visit churches. I get to encourage youth leaders. I get to meet with pastors. I get to meet with youth groups and congregations. And I've seen God at work in New England in amazing ways. Small churches, large churches, high school students taking their faith onto their campus, high school students starting clubs at school to pray and to read the scripture, to evangelize, men's groups, women's groups. At Camp Berea, we of course do our youth camp. We talked about Deep Freeze as our winter weekend camp that we run, but we run men's camp. We have man camp coming up in November, women's retreat in September, family camps. All because we want to see God work in the church, in families, in the local communities, and we believe that God is working. And so I would love, as you're here celebrating missions, what God is doing around the world, keep doing that and keep looking for ways to plug in. Look for ways where you personally can grow spiritually. It's not just go send someone else, but you personally, be it here in your church, be it down in Boston, be it around the town or around the world, where can you plug in and you can be part of what God is doing? Our theme this conference is shaking the nations for the glory of God. And that starts in your heart. It starts in your home. It starts in your family. And we learned last night that you're never too small to be part of what God is doing. You're never too small, it's never too early to join in to what God is doing. So last night, if you were here, thank you for coming back. It's always a joy for a preacher when they come back the next time when you speak. So I appreciate seeing some familiar faces from last night. And if you weren't here last night, I encourage you next year when they do this missions conference. It's a beautiful time we had last night, hearing from missionaries around the world, enjoying fellowship together. But if you were here last night, we talked a little bit about the history of this story. And to really appreciate what God is doing, you have to learn the big picture. Even as we saw in the video this morning, it's not just here's one story, here's another story, here's another story. It's God's overarching work in history. And what God started, even in a little book like Haggai, only two chapters, what God started before that with Moses and Jeremiah and Abraham, what God continues to do through Christ and through the church and through Paul and Peter and all these guys, God continues that story that started back then is continuing today. And we in this room, as we send missionaries and as we pray for missionaries and as we go after this to the lunch restaurant or to the grocery store and continue to live our faith out in our communities, we're continuing joining in what God started thousands of years ago. So as we look at this scripture, we're seeing the future glory because God is not done yet. Last night, we started with some history of how we got to that point. And today, we're looking at how God uses even us, even people like us, in a church like this, for his ongoing glory. Because God is using his church to change this world. So I told you that I moved here just about 2 years ago, and we've really enjoyed the experience. My family, we try to, you know, jump right in. So we've now been to all six of the New England states. I didn't know there were six when I got here, but they are. Some are bigger than others. We went to Maine. We saw some of the lighthouses. We saw the cold and rocky water. I came down here a few times. I spent about $40 on a lobster roll, which was probably worth it. It was pretty good. I grew my hair out because I wanted to go to Vermont and fit in up in Vermont. I went to Connecticut. I wasn't sure if Connecticut really was New England or not, but it depends, I guess, who you ask. Rhode Island was great. The light was green, so I just kept going, but it was, we had a fun time down there. One of the best Portuguese meals I ever had, probably the only Portuguese meal I ever had, but we had a restaurant. We went to lunch. My friend's a pastor down there, and great cultural experience. As we talk about missions, just a great cultural experience in Rhode Island. And so we've tried to live up the cultural difference being up here. We've enjoyed the snow. We got to ice skate on a lake, which I've never done. A little terrifying, but I've never done that before. May never do it again. But that was a lot of fun. If you come to Deep Freeze, to our winter camp, we send the high school kids into the icy lake, and they jump in for a polar plunge, and they come back out. Steve said if he comes, he'll do it again in February. But we tried to enjoy it. My kids got to go snowboarding. We've got to do all these cool things that I never thought as someone growing up and doing ministry in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas. I never thought that was a reality. But the one thing still, and I got to even enjoy this morning. I hope you guys don't take this for granted. Even this morning, the one thing that I've noticed the most about the difference in living down where I used to live and living here in this part of the country, the one thing I've seen is, oh, this is different, this is cool, this is special. We're actually enjoying it this weekend and a few weeks ago and for a few more weeks, hopefully. It's the fall. It's the foliage. And even I look out the window and I see a blessing right there. There's a red tree right there out the window. Where I come from, we get fall, but usually you go to the store and you buy the fall leaves and you hang them up around your house. Or you look up outside and you've got green, you've got green, you've got green, you got brown, and that's fall. And it's crunchy and it's, you know, oh, look at the fall. They all died on the ground. You come here, and this is a true story. I was here in August, and I was taking pictures of the leaves. It's all green, and there's one little yellow leaf, and I'm taking pictures. And my friend is like, what are you doing? I'm like, look how pretty the leaves are. And I walk around a few weeks, and you know, more change, and I'm taking pictures. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, the leaves are turning. And they keep saying, just wait. Just wait. You have no idea what's coming. And now I've been here for a second year, and they say, oh, this year's not as good because there was a drought, and it's not as pretty. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, because these leaves are still just beautiful. And then so, you know, September rolls around, and I'm like, now can I take a picture? Okay, now you can take a picture. Then October rolls around, and my kids come home from school. They go to the public school there in New Hampshire. My kids come home from school, and they have a new vocab word. It's a leaf peeper. And I'm like, that's me. I'm a leaf peeper. We'll go wait in the line. I tell the people, I'm going to go drive on the highway, the Kankamangus or whatever, and we're going to look. And all my friends say, don't do it. You're going to be with the tourists. You're going to be in the traffic. It's going to take you 8 hours. And I say, I know. I'm a tourist. That's what I'm doing. And I happily wait in line, and the cars are honking at you, and you're going, you know, it takes you 8 hours to do it. Because I see the beauty. But it's not just, oh, that's a pretty leaf. My other friend, he tells me, like, you know they're dying. That's why they're turning colors, right? Like, it's not depressing. It's beautiful. But it's worth doing because I see the gradual change. And I see the way that God works. And I see the way that what starts off as just a regular day out in the woods, the trees are growing, the nature's happening, and you see a glimpse. It starts off with one or two little leaves. Starts off with one or two changes. One tree. They told me that it's the sick trees that change colors first, and that made it a little less cool for me. But eventually, it's not just one tree, it's not just two trees, it's the whole thing. And you'll go for a hike, or you'll go for a drive, and it feels like the air is yellow or red or orange. It feels like the atmosphere is changed. And what starts out as a small glimpse, before you know it, even the ground foliage has changed. Even the ones, you know, the yellow ones start to fall, and now the red ones are popping, and then the orange ones. And before you know it, you're surrounded. And as we look at the missions movement that's happening in the world, as we look at the movements in the youth groups and in the churches growing even in New England, as we look at our own hearts, what God is doing in our own hearts, the reason I like the foliage and the fall and the changes is not just, oh, look how pretty. The reason I enjoy it is because it reminds me of what God is doing. It starts with a small, invisible change. It starts with a gradual, you barely even notice. God works over here. God stirs a heart over here. God brings this person to faith. God brings this person to repentance. And before you know it, you're surrounded by it. You blink, and the whole world has changed. Because God's at work slowly throughout time. As we look at even a story as simple as Haggai, a prophet that God uses for redemption, we're going to see this glimpse. It starts with one man being faithful to what God's called him to do, and then he shares, he holds the truth, he reminds, he encourages, he admonishes, and as, I don't want to get too far ahead, but as we go, we see this thing spread, just like the foliage, just like one little change, we see it grow. We see it grow. We see it grow. So last night we got into a little bit of history, and I tried my best not to make it too much history. Today will be more of the joy and the relational and things like that. But to know where you're going, you have to learn where you've been. And so even with the graphics, we see this story of exile. This is a, I don't know what it's called, a picture when they make it out of the clay, Louisiana education. But when you see the picture of the plunderers, what they're doing is these are Babylonians, and they're robbing the temple. You have God's temple, the place where God dwells, the place where God's promise is made. Because of the sins of the people, the Babylonians came. It was not God's abandonment, it was God's discipline. It was God rewriting history through his love to show them, even when you disobey, I'm still with you. Even when you blow it, I'm still going to redeem you. And so that what we call that in biblical history is called the exile. The Babylonians, a real nation, they were the powerhouse, they were the empire. They came in and they plundered not just Israel, but every nation. They came and they, like the stories of the Vikings or the other invaders, they came and they plundered, they stole, and they captured. And because of their sin, God allowed the Israelites, the Judeans, to be captured as well and carried off. And so God's temple in Jerusalem was plundered. But even in that, God didn't leave them alone. We talked last night how even in the midst of suffering, God met them. And it lasted a generation. It lasted roughly 70 years, 50 years, something like that. And God restored them back. It wasn't because they suddenly got better. It was because of God's longstanding goodness, God's faithfulness. God restored. God said, even though you deserve to be punished, I'm going to give you this thing called grace, redemption, mercy. I'm not saving you from exile because you somehow earned it. I'm saving you from exile because I'm a God that makes things right. I'm a God that restores. I'm a God that wants relationship with you. And as we talk about God's story, that's the same God that we still have now. Even when we fall short, there's things we do that we know are wrong, and we do them anyways, and we look at God and we say, I'm going to make this choice. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to do it. And God says, I'm going to discipline, but I'm going to love, and I'm going to put that sin on my son Jesus, and it's going to be paid for on the cross, and you can still have a relationship with me, even though you've sinned. And so even in the exile, we see the return. And we saw this call last night of when God returns them to the land, it's not just so they can be fat and happy. It's so they can be joining in with what God is doing. We saw this challenge. If not now, when? When are you going to join? When are you going to build this temple? Their calling was they wanted to rebuild God's physical temple. The one that got plundered in the background, they're bringing it back. And so last night we saw a call to repent, a call to change our ways, to return to what God is doing. Repentance, even nowadays, is like a U-turn. I was running towards sin, now I'm turning back and running towards God. My actions change because my heart changes, because I'm following God again. That's what they were called to. They were called to repent. Some of us are being called to repent. Some of us are being called to reprioritize, to refocus on what God has for us. Their calling was to rebuild that physical temple. Our calling is to build the church, this new temple, this God's dwelling in our hearts, in our families, in our communities, in the world. So they're reprioritizing what they were supposed to be doing. And the outcome we saw was rest. In this short little book, two chapters, again and again, he says, God is with you. He calls himself the Lord of hosts. That's a military term, the Lord of armies. The Lord of angel armies, he calls himself. There are people that have been conquered. They've been enslaved. And he says, my army is bigger than their army. I'm your God, and I'm the one that has this power, this authority. If we are repenting and we're reprioritizing, then the outcome is we can rest. We have God on our side. And so that is where they're coming from in this story. And the story is about the temple. We don't have a physical temple anymore because of the work of Christ on the cross. When Christ died for our sins, when Christ rose again with the power of life to conquer death, when that happened, if you look in history, if you look in the scripture, in the New Testament, there was the temple there. The veil tore in the temple. There were little earthquakes. There was power being seen by the people. Even the enemies of God said, surely this is God at work, because they couldn't deny what was happening with God's power. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, now we don't have this physical temple. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We become the place where God dwells. There's a lot of theology there. Cody would love to unpack that with you. He can do the hard work of unpacking all that. But what we see is God is at work, not just in a building, but in the world. And even the church is not a building, but it's the work of God in God's kingdom in the world. And so as we talk about the temple, what we're talking about is God's dwelling place expanding. And even in the midst, when we go from pain, from suffering, from slavery, to life, to redemption, we're reminded of this image, the slow, the gradual change. God at work behind the scenes. To use something as painful as the exile, as the captivity, as painful as some of the things that we recover from and go through in our lives and still battle with. God uses these things not to leave us alone in our suffering, not to make us overwhelmed, but to redeem. And so in Haggai, that's where we find ourselves. This is Haggai chapter 2. Last night we were in chapter 1. This is where our theme verse comes from. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Now, just as you see this date, seventh month, 21st day, this is a real place, a real time, a documented. You could look at legal documents and say this conversation happened, but it also puts it in timeline with last night, with last night's chapter. This is about a two-month-long story. This whole thing is about 2 months of time. Haggai spoke, the people responded, Haggai spoke, here he is again. Here's what he says. God is telling Haggai, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people. He's speaking to the leaders. He says, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? You might read this and think, what are they talking about? That's kind of weird. Here's what they're talking about. In that 2 months that I mentioned that had passed, they were faithful. They actually built the temple. It took them not long, and they built from structure God's temple. It had been destroyed, it had been razed, it had been carted off by the Babylonians. The Persians sent them back. The Persians actually gave them back the treasures. the lampstands, the altars, the gold, the same gold they had stolen or taken from Egypt when Pharaoh sent them free back with Moses, the same gold they used to make the temple, the same treasures when Babylon fell and they got the new stuff, the same ones went back with extra. The Persians said, here, take extra tax money, take some funding, take protection, build the temple. And now these guys, they've labored together. They've rebuilt the temple. And they think, man, we did it. There's times in our life where we think, man, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to work hard. I want to build the temple. But the problem was they looked at the temple they built, the works of their hands. They worked hard. They sweated. They sacrificed. They worked hard. And they looked at it. Do you know what happened? It wasn't very good. They're looking at this building. It's a real building, a real place. They're looking at it, and they're kind of thinking like, oh, that's it? They're underwhelmed. And then they're discouraged. And there's actually the older generation, the people that were there when they were little 70 years ago, and they saw the first temple and the glory, Solomon's magical, magnificent temple. If you remember Solomon's story, the king of Israel from days of old, the beautiful temple. And they look at this new one, and it's not as good. And they think, we thought we did it. We thought we fixed our lives. We thought we lined up to God. Do you ever do that? Do you think you fix your life and then you realize, I didn't really fix it. I just worked hard. And there's men, grown men, weeping. We thought we had impressed God. We thought we had done it. We thought our work was good enough. And they're about to give up. He says, how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? And they say, yeah, this temple, this work we did, this sacrifice we made. God, you said if we followed you, we'd have success. We're following you. We're not having success. And they're mourning and they're weeping. But again, God says, I'm not going to leave you in your shortcomings. I'm not going to leave you in your pain. I'm not going to leave you in the works of your own hands. And so the verse continues. Yet now be strong. You saw it. You were depressed. You were sad. You were even angry. You were disappointed. He says, your story's not over yet. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was an ancestor of a descendant, is the word. He was a descendant of King David. He was an ancestor of Jesus. He was in this line from David to Jesus. Be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, the priest. Be strong, all you people, declares the Lord. Work, listen to this. For I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. You thought that you were building the temple? You thought it was your job to fix the world? You thought it was your job to make things right? He says, behold, I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Not because you're impressive, not because you earned it, not because finally you're the first one to figure out this stuff after all these generations. Here's why God says, I'm with you. Because of the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. Before you were born, I decided that I was going to be faithful to you. And I'm a God that doesn't change. I'm a God that doesn't give up. I'm a God that redeems. According to this covenant I made with your forefathers, now I'm being faithful to you. And that's the same God that we serve. Because of the covenant I made on the cross, because of the covenant I made through your faith, through grace, I'm with you. He says, according to this covenant, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. This is God's promise to them. This is God's promise to Haggai. This is God's promise to you and God's promise to me. He says, be strong. I am with you. My spirit remains in your midst. I'm the Lord of hosts. I'm making this promise, and I'm the one that holds it up. There are times when you and where I have let God down. There's times where we set out to build God's temple, to build God's kingdom, to build God's dwelling in this world, and we've blown it. God doesn't say, great, go sin more. God says, I'm going to redeem this. I'm going to fix this. It was never you that saved yourself in the first place. It was the blood of Christ and the grace of God that saved you in the first place. If it was up to you, you'd have lost a long time ago, but it's up to God. And because God wants you as his son and daughter, because God wants you in his kingdom, because God paid the price and not you, God uses even our shortcomings, even our temple that we look at and say it's not that good. God uses it. And he makes a promise in this next verse, in verse 7, I'm going to shake the nations. You saw the placard, you saw the brochure, you saw the slides, shaking the nations for the glory of God. The verse this comes from is in this next verse we're about to read. Here's why you can be strong. Here's why you can be not discouraged. Here's why when you look at your own brokenness, your own crummy temple that you built, that you thought would be good and it's not. Here's why. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts. Again, that title, the King of angel armies. Yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will shake the sea and the dry land, and I will shake, here's our verse for the weekend, I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come in, and I will fill this house with glory, declares the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The future, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, the previous glory, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. You see, we look at our brokenness and we think, is this all that I have? Is this all that I can do is bring my brokenness? And God says, just wait. In the same way, we see a small change here, a small change here, a small transformation. God says, just wait. I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the oceans. I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to do a work that you can't even imagine. You thought Solomon's temple was great? You thought the story of Moses and Abraham and all these guys was great? I'm not done yet. God says, my story is still going, and God says, you're part of my story. Be strong. Be courageous. Yet once more, we read, yet in a little while, just a little while longer, I will shake the nations. The silver is mine, declares the Lord. The gold is mine. You see, they had Moses' silver and gold that they brought from Egypt. They even had Darius's silver and gold. The richest kingdom in the world at the time, Persia, said, here, take our treasures. We want to support what you're doing. Take this treasure. He says, you think Darius has treasure? Wait till you see my treasure rooms. You think Egypt had treasure? Wait till you see. He says, it's not about what you can bring. It's about what I already have. Nothing that we bring is going to impress God, because God already has what he's done. All we bring is our faith and our trust and our hope. The future glory of this house will be greater than the former. Just wait, is what Jesus says. So the story goes on. Haggai and them, they build the temple. They celebrate, even though they thought it was meager, they thought it was not as cool as they wanted, they celebrated. We stopped in verse 9, but there's a few more paragraphs. They worship, they do sacrifices, they talk about holiness. They use the temple. And they say, God made a promise, God's going to be there. They thought God was saying, like, oh, it's not that bad, you did good, cool temple, God, we'll still do sacrifices. Generations pass. Do you know what happens in that same temple place? Generations, there's 500 years of worship, but also 500 years of struggle. You can read more of the story through more of the Old Testament, through some of the historical, intertestamental, non-biblical stories of the Greeks came in, the Romans came in. That temple that Haggai built, it actually got destroyed again later. It got rebuilt a third time, but the same temple space, the same temple mound, the same area. They call it the Roman temple, got built during the Roman era. That same place where he said, I'm going to shake the nations, I'm going to shake the world, I'm going to bring the nations in. If you look in the Gospels, you look in Luke, you look in John, Jesus is born as a baby. If you know this story, if not, you can look in the Christmas narratives. Jesus is born, real place, real time, real temple. Mary and Joseph, as was the custom, They take the baby Jesus, the real baby, the human baby, the divine baby. They bring him into the temple, the same place, now rebuilt a third time. And they dedicate Jesus as an infant, as he would do, as was the custom. There's a people in there worshiping. There's a prophetess named Anna. She's an old woman that's a prophetess that's been waiting. And she says, I've been waiting for redemption to come to Israel. I've been waiting for God to move. She spent her whole life worshiping, praising, waiting. And as she does, she goes to the temple and she worships. And she sees Jesus, the infant. She takes Jesus from Mary. If you're Mary, you're thinking like, what's going on? This lady just grabbed my baby. Anna takes the baby and Anna weeps. It says in the scripture that Mary cherished those words. Mary took delight in those words. She says, through this child, redemption has come. There's another man there, Simeon, same story. He's waiting. He's longing for God. He sees this happening. And he says, God promised me that I would see the redemption of Israel coming. God promised me that he would show me him fulfilling his promises. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says, I can now die in peace because I've seen God work. I've seen God keep his promises. And they're looking at a baby in a temple, and they know it's Jesus, and they know the fulfillment has come. Jesus then lives his life. He grows up. He does his ministry. Jesus lived for 33 years on the earth. God revealed himself in Christ. We know this story. At the end of Christ's life, before he was crucified, one of the things that happened during that holy week was they went to this temple. The one where Haggai looked and said, it's not that good. The work of our hands was not that good. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to tear down this temple. I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. That's one of the accusations they used when they arrested Christ. He said he was going to tear down the temple. Who's going to tear down the temple? He can't do that. He said, I'm going to rebuild it. And then he got arrested and then he died. As I mentioned before, while he was dying, in the moment that he died, there was earthquake. The veil in the temple was torn. This Halloween season, it actually says that there were saints of old came back to the earth to testify to who Christ was. The prophets of old, Haggai might have been one of these guys, that was in Jerusalem saying, I told you, he's here. The promise is here. Christ says, I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the earth. We see that happen when Christ dies. We see the earthquake. He says, I'm going to bring the nations. Just a short time after, Christ is going back into heaven. We have the story of Pentecost in the book of Acts. We have the disciples. They start to evangelize, and they start to share the story of what Christ has done. And as they're doing this in a miraculous way, their languages are heard from all the different languages. It's this festival of Pentecost where people from around the world are all here in Jerusalem. And the gospel in the book of Acts goes around the world. And that's still happening, as we heard from missionaries this weekend. You see, Haggai says, it's just a little temple. It's just a meager building that's not as good as we wanted it to be. It's just my best effort. But God says it was never about what you wanted. It's about what I'm doing. And God calls us in to his story, to be a light in the darkness, to be a people that proclaims the truth, to join in with this temple building. The reality is that we live in this new temple. The temple in Haggai is not there anymore. The temple that Solomon built is not there anymore. The temple that Herod built is not there anymore. But the temple that remains is the one that Christ built, the one he invites us to dwell with him in. The temple that will never get destroyed. The temple that we're part of, because as Christ says, the glory is mine, the silver is mine, the story is mine. And the calling that we have is to continue building this temple in our hearts, in our worlds, in our interactions. Because God goes before us, God comes behind us, God's at work in the nations. God wants to be at work in your heart. So we have to let God into our heart first. Then we have to let God use our lives to transform the world. Just like the fall leaves, it often starts out small. Sometimes it seems like, is it coming? Are they going to change? When's the change happening? And then in a blink of an eye, God says, now's the time. And we're surrounded by God's presence. So as we celebrate missions, as we celebrate the blue cards we take home and say, how can I be a part of what God's doing through this church? We make those blue card faith commitments. As we pray for our missionaries, remember that God is doing something even through you that you can't even imagine. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your kingdom. We thank you that this story outlasts us. You were at work before we came. You'll be at work long after we're gone until you come to bring your church home. Lord, and you invite us into what you're doing. You invite us into your kingdom work. Lord, let us rest that it is your glory, not ours. It's your strength, not ours. It's your grace through faith. Lord, work in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.